I'm very thankful to be here again this afternoon. Bob keeps pushing me and he says, Francis, there is much more to be told yet from the coast of Labrador, especially when it comes to the persecution and that what has taken place among us when the gospel first came. And I told him, no, I said, I think I'm finished with it. And he said, no. He said, you have told me all these stories, so the people of Scotland would like to hear them as well. So I'm, by the best of my ability, I would like to continue. There is much more to be being told. So I'm going to take a little bit of time and continue on. No doubt, as God works in every area, as Satan works as well. But I'm going to proceed from where I left off in relation to the MGM, the gospel boat, that was brought from this country of Scotland. And I have to say I was a little touched as I stood on the wharf in Buckie, on the front of the wharf there, and I could visualize that little boat as I looked down into the water there. I seen the little boat that was once fishing for men at the sea and eventually was fishing for the souls of men on the coast of Labrador. It may not mean a lot to people that is there, but for myself, it means a great deal because I was one among the first ones of the village that was saved at that time 50 years ago. And to be able to look down into that harbor and visualize the little boat that was taken from it and put on a big boat and brought across the country to our land and sailed the coast of Labrador. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Matthew's Gospel in relation to the going forth still of the work along the coast. And Jesus came, verse 18 of chapter 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I kind of feel a little different this afternoon in the first time speaking here, being in a different country and being among different people. Sometimes I'm sure for any that would travel to any parts would give them a little different attitude, but when you mix among people a little bit, you get the feel of the people and makes you feel a little more comfortable in standing to being able to speak. Now, our brother Bob says, Francis, just go for it and do it. And I tried to push out of it, but he wouldn't let me. But in regards to the working of the gospel, which I have presented to you before, along with it, there's gone a measure of persecution as well at the early days. And I have mentioned to you in relation to the building of the hall at the very beginning, after they preached a little bit in the home and that they have there and in the little United School that they preach, they decided to build a gospel hall. That was the old one. Previously, now we have another one, and in view of building another one beginning this year. But the old gospel hall was built up into the back of the village, which the village has gone bigger now. And at that time, there was a lot of opposition in the village in relation to the gospel. They didn't want it there. As I have told you before, there were three denominations there at the time. There was United, or Methodist, it was then. And there was the Church of England, which is now called Anglican. And there was the Roman Catholic. But I have to say, it was most of the Protestant people that did oppose to the gospel at that time. So at the timing of the building of the hall, the small hall that we had built there, there was much opposition at the time, as I can remember very well. Mr. Driver and Mrs. Driver would understand, at the end of the gospel hall is there now, there's a fence that goes by. And I can remember seeing a big crowd of men standing there for 3 days to oppose to the building of the little gospel hall. And when the man come with the tractor to push off the land, to clear away the land, there was quite a confusion. There was another man that jumped up on the back of the tractor and pulled the operator off. And then she got into a kind of a real uproar. And there was much opposition at the time, and they had to call in the Newfoundland cutter boat, the patrol boat. At that time in our area, there was no roads, so everything was done by boat. And the Newfoundland law had to come in by boat, and the magistrates and the policemen come in. And they went to a person's house there and tried to settle it to build a new hall. So eventually the time came when it was announced there was no problem of building a gospel hall in Lanseloo. So Mr. Bert Jice and Mr. Bert Gamble at that time went to Mr. Bert Granger. They went away to some part of Ontario and heard of the material. And the materials come on to the coastal boat that brought the freight in, and the all was built. So from that day until the time it was torn down, it was a wonderful place whereby the gospel was preached, whereby souls have gotten saved. But the little MGM sailed along our coast in many villages, along the fishing villages of our coast at that time, and they went into one village east of us, and a little small place, and there was opposition, there great opposition. But from that very village today, there is a servant of the Lord. I don't know if you heard much about him, Eric Fowler. He's been in Russia, and different parts of Russia in the last couple of years many times, preaching the gospel there. Right now he's back in Canada again. He was just recently over there. But from that very little village, there has been a preacher of the gospel and gone forth to preach. But again, the little boat, the MGM, went west of us. In number of villages, and there was a place in Lanseclair. Sometimes we refrain from telling these stories because of the opposition that occurred there at that time, which caused much problem. As the little MGM and some of the young brethren from our village was on her at that time, when she went in the harbor, the village people were very, very opposed to the gospel, even over the many years. But I have to say we are very thankful for the day that we have no problem at all going in there giving out gospel literature any given time at all. Especially in the fall times, we deliver calendars and literature in the village of Lanseclair, which is very well gathered with us, different from what it was in days gone by. I want to tell you from that village, there was very, very opposed. When the little MGM went in there, there was a good number on board. So Mr. Campbell, he was a very forward man, very forward young man, very energetic. He's only about 28 years of age then, just having to marry in the Marines, and he had no fear at all. So as that little boat went in with the crowd of people on board, he started to preach. A man came out in his boat with the rifle. He just took up and shot right over the people's heads a couple of shots and blew the loudspeaker off of the boat. I believe Bob has a picture of that when he was down there in his hand. Very much against the gospel work. And in fact, up till at this present time, there is no gospel gone in there in relation to preaching the gospel. And years later after that, Mr. Driver are here, and all of us gathered at the hillside of Lanseclair to preach the gospel. Mr. Driver can remember very well when the townspeople come up again and opposed against us, and we had to leave. So in regards to those villages along the coast, there is a number yet that still oppose and need the prayers of God's people, not only on our own land, but in the land that is on this side as well. Now, after the MGM was finished, we got another boat called the Northern Light. She was the Granville boat. She was associated with the Granville International Association in St. Anthony, Newfoundland. That boat used to travel all the Labrador coast and many villages of Newfoundland with the doctors and nurses on board, tending to the sick along the small villages of the coast of Labrador into the northern parts of Labrador. So after the International Granville Association didn't want that boat anymore, this was back in the 60s, the gospel workers decided to buy that boat, and Mr. Driver went on her in the early years that he had come to the coast of Labrador. Now this little boat sailed mostly into the Quebec area, Mr. Driver, wasn't it? She sails from Lanceloo, far up the coast to Arrington Harbor, Lettepatriere, St. Augustine, Old Fort Bay, and Chivry area in those areas. But after that boat became nil as well, and she went out of business. But I want to tell you a little bit about the Quebec coast. There's very touching stories concerning these areas. Even though today there is no assemblies on the Quebec coast from Blanc-Sablon to Chivry, and there's a lot of villages in between there. But I want to tell you a story of a man that lived in one of these villages, and with the energy and the ego he had in his day, sometimes leads me, as knowing him very well, to my shame in going forth the gospel. Mr. Drybar will surely want me to tell about him today. In a village called Lettepatriere, on the north shore of Quebec, the gospel went in there, and there was a little gospel hall built, very small, perhaps from across this window to there, about this size. I've been in it very often. But there was a man there by the name of Mr. Dave Chubbs. He got saved. He got baptized, and he was gathered with us in English Point or in Lanceloo. Whenever he would come, he would break bread with us, but it was not very often. And I want to tell you today, just for the young that is there, and even for us that is older as well, sometimes we lose courage in going forth for the gospel and trying to present his word. But I'm going to tell you the story of a man that was faithful to God and to his word. Mr. Dave Chubbs was alone, along with his wife, in this little isolated village. And I mean isolated. There's no way of getting out of it only by boat or by plane. Even by plane, you could hardly get in there, because the little strip was just a sandy place there by the side of the mountain. Mr. Dave Chubbs got saved many years ago from the gospel preaching. And he built a little hall in a place called Red Bay in Quebec. There's Red Bay in Labrador. So a number of years ago, we went up there. We moved the little gospel hall from a place called Red Bay into the little cove where Mr. Chubbs lived. Mr. Chubbs was there by himself many, many years seeking to present God's word and God's way of salvation. And I have visited Mr. Chubbs many times, and I want to tell you something. Most of us would never do it as Mr. Chubbs have done. I can remember going to his home. He was a faithful man. Sometimes it feels like I'm out of it all when I see a man such as he was. Mr. Chubbs, every morning as my wife would be there, we would hear him downstairs. And he would pray aloud, him and his wife. We were there on a Lord's Day afternoon on different occasions. And he would say to me, "Francis, we're going to have a gospel meeting tonight. I want to tell you, we would leave downstairs and we would walk upstairs into a small little room in the corner of his house." He was alone now in the weeks and the months that lie before this. And from that little room, he had a wire gone into a long, on high tree, way up past his house. And he had a loudspeaker up on the tree. He said, "Francis, we're going to have a gospel meeting tonight." It was only two of us. He would open the window of that little room to get himself some air. And then he would put his record on, you know, the old record player. And he would put the needle on and would play songs of Alec Morrison. After the songs were sung, he opened the window and he stood for 1/2 hour. And he preached the gospel over the loudspeaker, just by himself. I'm going to be honest with you. I sat down on the chair behind him. I couldn't help but weep. I said, "Where have I gone, and what have I left out? A man in this lonely, isolated village. Every Lord's Day night." I said, "Mr. Chubbs, do you do it?" "Every Lord's Day night," he says, "I preach in this village from this little room, alone, over the loudspeaker." Mr. Chubbs was a very faithful man of God. Mr. Chubbs today is in heaven. I can remember the day that he died, we was asked to come to his funeral. It was over 200 or 300 kilometers from home. And the only way we could get there at the time was by a bush plane, a twin otter plane. So 19 of us from our village, from English Point area and Lansdowne, went into Tabatcher to take the funeral of Mr. Chubbs. And in those villages, they're not really very used to this kind of clothing, being dressed up with white shirts and suits of clothes. So when we landed there, the village people called us 19 ministers have come from down east to bury Mr. Chubbs. So we were 19 ministers, all right. A lot of us was given the opportunity to speak at his funeral. And because of the wee little hall that was there was not room, we were given the town's church to take over. Mr. Jice being the preacher, he's a big man, and the minister is set aside, and we have taken the opportunity to bury Mr. Chubbs. Mr. Chubbs was a very faithful man. And I want to say, continue on with the story of this man, give you some insight how sometimes it's easy to gather among a large gathering of people and live our Christian lives among companies sometimes makes it so much easier. But I want to say this afternoon an encouragement to you that are younger and seeking to go forward in something to do for himself. I want to speak to you of some encouragement from a man today who is in heaven. I went down one day to the little hall with Mr. Chubbs. And I went in and I walked around a little bit, and his place was only small. And he had there on the corner his little tripod and his little things for Sunday school. And just over there was a little stove and a little wood box with some wood in it. And I walked around and I said to Mr. Chubbs, I said, why do you come here alone, Mr. Chubbs? I said, down in Lansdowne we have a Sunday school about 100 or more. I said, why did you come each Sunday in a little place like this alone? He turned to me and he said, Francis, I come here for an hour. Perhaps some boy or girl will come in. I said again to myself, how slack sometimes we are. We're living in a larger assembly with many people around. And this man alone would come to a little building and set his tripod up and put his Sunday school things on, expecting somebody would come in. His audience would be his own family. And that was the immediate family of Mr. Chubbs, which he would speak to at many times. Mr. Chubbs have taken the time to place much literature into envelopes and posted along his coastline to try and see a work accomplished for God in that area. But the little hall was finished in Tabatcher. The little hall now, I've just seen it a week or so before coming up here. We delivered goods in the Quebec coast as far as the road went. And the little hall in Old Fort Bay is now being torn down. It's not completely demolished yet. And it's being torn down. Mr. Driver and I went there many, many times. And I tell you, the road there wasn't all that good either. The driving area of that time wasn't too good. And we traveled there many times to present the gospel. So that work in the Quebec coast has seemed like it's come to its closure. But yet again, we believe over the years there will be an opening. Because the man that was faithful to God and his desire was to see a work done along the Quebec coast. And I'm very thankful this afternoon, even of what I have told you in the future of life in relation to the gospel that come forth on the coast of Labrador. And I am thankful this afternoon for the working of the gospel, even though there is much opposition that occurred at the very beginning of the work of the coast. But it seems today, all this problem here is somewhat disappearing. But yet again, there is those among us that do not want the name of the Lord Jesus mentioned to them. But every one of them today is without responsibility. Over the years, the gospel has been gone forth over the loudspeakers in Lansaloon, and Caption Island, Pinware, Lanciclair, as far north as we can go. The gospel has been presented, as souls now is left responsible in relation to what they will accept and what they will reject. But I want to say today, in relation to this man, Mr. Chubbs, I have on my mind to make it mentioned to you, a man, over the many years, until the day he died, he stood for what he believed. I just want to tell you a little story that he told me one time. There was a woman in the area, she professed to be saved, and there was nobody there to, in relation to her and so on. But she had to be buried in the Catholic Church in the area of Tabatcher. But because of her life that she lived for the Lord, she was a Christian woman, even though she had to be buried in the Catholic Church. So the priest decided one day, because of Mr. Chubbs' testimony in the village, he told me this himself. The priest came over and he said, because of this woman, I want you to come to the church and speak a word at her funeral. Mr. Chubbs took his Bible this way, he said, and I walked the path of the Batcher over to that church, and I went up into, it was a large building, I went up to that pulpit, he said, and I told the story of this woman that have gotten saved, and she has gone to be with the Lord. I want to say today, it took great courage from a man like this to do that in that village. I'm very thankful today to be able to present a little in relation to the work of the codes. But tonight here in this gospel meeting, I'm going to tell you again how God reached to save this man who was once a little boy. If he comes back tonight, you'll hear me tell you how God reached and saved me. Amen.
I was at the baptism of Mr. Chubbs. He was saved in 1966, and he was baptized in 1967. The whole village turned out to that baptism, and before Mr. Chubbs was baptized, he gave his testimony. He told how the Lord met and saved him, and I was at that baptism, and I don't think I've ever met a man as faithful as Mr. Chubbs. We could say much about him today. His family all professed, some didn't go on, but him and his wife was a great testimony in Tabatcher. I remember meeting one man about Mr. Chubbs. He was going to go a holiday, but he wouldn't go. He said, there's only one man in Tabatcher I would leave my business with. And that was Mr. Chubbs. I want to read one verse today in John's Gospel. The Gospel according to John in chapter 2. John's Gospel chapter 2, verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his precious word. As you and I read the four Gospels, we are told why the Lord Jesus Christ came. When you read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 17, you read a verse like this. Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And one of the reasons given in Matthew's Gospel why the Lord came was that he might fulfill the law and the prophets. When you and I read Mark's Gospel, another reason is given why the Lord Jesus Christ came. Mark 10:45 says this, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for the many." When you and I come to Luke's Gospel, another reason is given why Christ came. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And then when we come to John's Gospel, another reason is given why Christ came. John 12:47 says this, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." When I was a child here in the Sunday school, we used to sing those words. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save he came. And when we call him Saviour, we call him by his name. So then we find time and again, reason is given why Christ came. Now we're going to speak a little today on John's Gospel. You know, it's nice to notice how Christ is presented in the Gospel according to John. Let me say two things very quickly. You know, he's presented as the Lamb of God, and he's presented as the Shepherd. So we're going to think about the Lord Jesus today as the Lamb of God and as the Shepherd. I remember listening to a man on the tape, and he says the truth of the Lamb of God is from Genesis to Revelation. And just let's go through the Bible today very quickly and notice the Lamb of God from Genesis to Revelation. You know, in Genesis chapter 22, we have the Lamb foretold. He's the Lamb that is prophesied. Listen to what you read in Genesis 22. You read a verse like this. "My son, God shall provide himself a lamb." And in Genesis chapter 22, he's the Lamb foretold, he's the Lamb that is prophesied. When I come to Exodus chapter 12, he's the Lamb that is typified. Remember what you read about him in Exodus chapter 12? You read a verse like this, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." And there we see Christ as the Lamb typified. When you and I come to Isaiah chapter 53, that well-known chapter, there we see the Lamb crucified. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. It's the Lamb crucified. When you and I come to John's Gospel chapter 1, he's the Lamb identified. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, behold the Lamb of God, he's the Lamb identified. When you and I come to Revelation chapter 5, he's the Lamb that is glorified. Remember, in the midst of the elders, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. He's the Lamb that is glorified. And then when we come to Revelation chapter 19, he's the Lamb that is satisfied. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. So he's the Lamb prophesied. He's the Lamb typified. He's the Lamb crucified. He's the Lamb identified. He's the Lamb glorified. And he's the Lamb satisfied. Right from the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation. Again, as you and I think of Christ as the Lamb, Genesis chapter 4, there's a Lamb for an individual. Exodus chapter 12, there's a Lamb for a house. Numbers chapter 7, there's a Lamb for a tribe. Isaiah chapter 53, there's a Lamb for a nation. And in John's Gospel chapter 1, there's the Lamb for the world. So remember, in John's Gospel, Christ is presented as the Lamb. But you know, when you and I come to chapter 10, not now presented as the Lamb, but he's presented as the Shepherd. Now remember the Lord Jesus, he's the Good Shepherd. Remember, he's the Great Shepherd. And remember, he's the Chief Shepherd. As you and I consider Christ as the Good Shepherd, we think of the death of Christ. When you and I consider Christ as the Great Shepherd, we think of the resurrection of Christ. And when you and I think of Christ as the Chief Shepherd, we think about the coming again of the Lord Jesus. So he's the Good Shepherd, he's the Great Shepherd, and he's the Chief Shepherd. You know, it's interesting to notice in John 10 that Christ as the Shepherd is contrasted. He's contrasted with the stranger. He's contrasted with the hireling. And then he's contrasted with the stranger, the hireling, and then the thief. Now what's the contrast between the stranger and the shepherd? Simply this. The sheep flee from the stranger, but remember, the sheep follow the shepherd. So there's a contrast between the stranger and the shepherd. What's the contrast between the hireling and the shepherd? The contrast is this. You know the hireling? He sacrifices the sheep to save himself. But the shepherd sacrifices himself to save the sheep. So there's a contrast between the hireling and the shepherd. Now what's the contrast between the hireling and the thief? The contrast simply is this. The thief comes to get, but the shepherd comes to give. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. Now what we have read today is a very, very important verse. Listen today to it. The words of the Lord's mother, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And notice certain things in this verse. Whatsoever, that's variety. He saith, that's authority. Unto you, that's individuality. Do it, that's responsibility. Now, I want to make it very clear this afternoon. The secret to any life is seen in this verse that we have read this afternoon. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now what we're going to do this afternoon very quickly is this. I'm going to go through John's Gospel, and we're going to think of this verse today. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Now, we're going to think about five chapters very quickly. We're going to think of John chapter 2, a wedding. We're going to think of John chapter 5, the feeding of the multitude. We're going to think about John chapter 9, the blind man receiving his sight. We're going to think of John chapter 11, a dead man being raised to life. And we're going to consider John chapter 21, and remember, it's casting the net on the right side of the ship. Now let me say two things today about John's Gospel. If there's going to be miracles wrought, if there's going to be need met, if disciples are going to believe in him, if God is going to be glorified, we want to notice two things in John's Gospel. Now what's the two things to notice in John's Gospel is simply this. There's our part, and there is his part. If miracles are going to be wrought, if needs are going to be met, if the Son of God is going to be glorified, if God is going to be glorified, there has to be our part, and there has to be his part. Now, for example, that's an Old Testament principle. You remember the book of Malachi? Listen today to it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's our part. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing. That's his part. And I could go through the Bible today, and I could show you his part, and I could show you our part. Now let's think of John's Gospel today, and we're going to think about our part, and we're going to think about his part. Now let me say this. Remember, his part is far greater than our part. But my point this afternoon is this. If God is going to be glorified, and if need is going to be met, first of all there has to be our part, and then there will be his part. Now let's think of those five chapters that we have mentioned. And in those five chapters, notice one thing. There's need. At the wedding, there is the need for wine. The feeding of the 5,000, there's the need for bread. The blind man, the need is sight. The dead man, the need is life. And when we come to John's Gospel chapter 21, the need is food. Remember what the Lord said to those disciples? Children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. Now, let's think of our part, and then let's think of his part. When I come to John's Gospel chapter 2, what is our part? Listen tonight to it. Fill the water pots with water. Draw out to the governor. That's our part. Come now to John's Gospel chapter 6, the feeding of the multitude. What's our part? Make the men sit down. Distribute to those that are sat down. That's our part. When you come to John chapter 9, the blind man receiving his sight, what's his part? Go wash in the pool of Siloam. John's Gospel chapter 11, remember what's our part? Roll away the stone. Loose him and let him go. And then when we come to John's Gospel, chapter 21, what's our part? Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. That's our part. But then go through the Gospel and notice his part. What's his part in John chapter 2? He's to turn the water into wine. What's his part in John chapter 6? He's to feed the multitude. What's his part in John chapter 9? The blind man has to receive his sight. What's his part in John chapter 11? The dead man has to receive life. And what's his part in John's Gospel chapter 21? He has to fill the net with a multitude of fishes. But my point this afternoon, dear child of God, is this. If we're going to see miracles wrought, and if need is going to be met, and if God is going to be glorified, remember, you and I will have to do our part. Remember, the Lord Jesus will do his part. Now just go through those chapters today very quickly and notice the outcome. What was the outcome in John chapter 2? Listen today to it. This beginning of miracles. Did Jesus in Cana of Galilee manifested forth his glory? And the disciples believed on him. Have you got the picture? The need of the wedding was met. The Son of God was glorified. And it says that the disciples believed in him. There might be a young Christian here today. And you're asking yourself the question, did the disciples not believe on him before the miracle was wrought? And the answer is yes. But my point today is this. They had a greater belief. They had a firmer belief when they saw the miracle that was wrought. the Son of God was glorified, and it says that the disciples believed on him. Let's come very quickly to John chapter 11. What's the outcome of John chapter 11? Listen to what we read. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. And my point this afternoon, dear child of God, is simply this. What was the outcome of John chapter 11? The outcome was this. There was sorrow, as seen in Martha and Mary. So Martha and Mary, they are comforted. Secondly, Lazarus receives life. Thirdly, there were those that believed on the Lord Jesus. And finally, we read those words. God was glorified. I had a cousin who died at the age of 17, I believe. You don't know what he said on his deathbed? He said to my father something like this. He says, I believe that God would have me to glorify him in my death. How can you and I glorify God? Listen to it this afternoon. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And if you and I do it, remember, God will be glorified. There might be a young Christian here today. You're asking yourself the question, how can I glorify God? And I want to remind every Christian today, remember, there are four ways in which every Christian can glorify God. What's the four ways? Joshua chapter 7, Psalm number 50, Haggai chapter 1, and John's Gospel chapter 15. What is Joshua chapter 7? Listen today to the words of Joshua. Remember what he said to Achan? He said this. Give glory unto God. Make confession unto him. Hide it not from me. Tell me, I pray thee, what thou hast done. And in Joshua chapter 7, we glorify God by confessing our sin. What is Psalm 50? Listen to the words of Psalm 50. He that offereth the spirit of thanksgiving glorifieth me. And remember, God would have us to be truthful. Remember, God would have us to be trustful. And remember, God would have us to be thankful. And you and I can glorify God by being thankful. What is Haggai chapter 1? Listen today to it. Go up to the mountains and bring down wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord of hosts. And the truth of Haggai chapter 1 is this. You go to where God sends you. And you do what God commands you to do. And that's one way in which we glorify God. Then I come to the well-known verse of John chapter 15. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples indeed. We glorify God by confessing our sin. We glorify God by being thankful. We glorify God by going to where God sends us, doing what God commands us to do. And we glorify God by being fruitful. And I leave the verse with you today. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. There's a verse in 2 Samuel and it goes like this. Thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. And it's the secret to every life, whether it be single life, whether it be married life, whether it be our social life, whether it be our assembly life. Remember the words of the Lord's mother. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Now shall we pray. Our Father, we thank thee today for our gathering together. And again, our God, we would pray for the Quebec coast. We think of the much seed that has been sown in that land. And we pray that still yet it might bring forth fruit in salvation. We pray thy blessing now upon thy spoken word. Part us now with thy richest blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Keep us, our God, in thy fear. Remember the gospel, our God, this evening. Give a sense of thy presence and thy blessing. And we shall give thee the honour, the praise and the glory in the Lord Jesus. Precious name. Amen. Now we won't sing this thing as well.